My worst fears and fondest dreams had in a single instant been realised. A mere mile to the east of the vessel was the camouflaged outline of a Skyhawk fighter hugging the sea and heading directly for the landing craft. I jammed the throttle fully open, shouted over the radio, "A4's attacking the boat, follow me down," and peeled off into a 60-degree dive towards the attackers. Dave Smith wrenched his Sea Harrier around after me, but lost sight of my machine as we plunged downwards with the airspeed rocketing from the economic 240 knots on CAP to well over 600 knots as we strained to catch the enemy before he could reach his target. I watched impotently as the first A4 opened fire with his 20mm cannon, bracketing the tiny matchbox of a craft. My heart soared as his bomb exploded a good 100 feet beyond them, but then sank as I realised that a further A4 was running in behind him. The second pilot did not miss, and I bore mute and frustrated witness to the violent explosion which obliterated the stern, killing the crew and mortally wounding the landing craft. As I closed rapidly on his tail, I noticed in my peripheral vision a further A4 paralleling his track to my left. I hauled my aircraft to the left and rolled out less than half a mile behind the third fighter, closing like a runaway train. Within seconds, I heard the growl in my earphones telling me that my missile could see the heat from his engine. My right thumb pressed the lock button on the stick, and instantly the small green missile cross in the head-up display transformed itself into a diamond sitting squarely over the back end of the Skyhawk. At the same time, the growl of the missile became an urgent, high-pitched chirp, telling me that the infrared homing head of the weapon was locked on and ready to fire. I raised the safety catch and mashed the recessed firing button with all the strength I could muster. In less than half a second, the Sidewinder was transformed from an inert 11-foot-long tube into a living, fire-breathing monster as it accelerated to nearly 3 times the speed of sound and streaked towards the nearest enemy aircraft. As it left the rails, the rocket efflux and supersonic shockwave over the left wing rolled my charging Sea Harrier rapidly to the right, throwing me onto my right wingtip at less than 100 feet above the sea. As I rolled erect, the missile started to guide towards the Skyhawk's jetpipe, leaving a white corkscrew of smoke against the slate-grey sea. Within 2 seconds, the missile disappeared directly up his jetpipe, and the aircraft was completely obliterated as the missile tore into its vitals and ripped it apart. The pilot had no chance of survival, and within a further 2 seconds, the ocean had swallowed all trace of him and his aeroplane. There was no time for elation. As I was righting my machine after the first missile launch, I realised that I was pointing directly at another Argentine aircraft at a range of about 1 mile, the one I had seen hit the landing craft. My second missile immediately locked onto his jet efflux as he started a panic break towards me. As I was about to fire, the homing head lost lock, and the missile cross wandered drunkenly onto the sea some 50 feet below him. Cursing, I rejected the false lock, mashed the lock button again, and fired, the missile whipping across my nose and taking a handful of lead to the left to head him off. He obviously saw the Sidewinder launch, because he immediately reversed his brake and pulled his aircraft into a screaming turn away from it. His best efforts were to no avail, however, and the thin grey missile flashed back across my nose and impacted his machine directly behind the cockpit. The complete rear half of the airframe simply disintegrated, and as the aluminium confetti of destruction fluttered seawards, I watched, fascinated, as the disembodied cockpit yawed rapidly through 90 degrees and splashed violently into the freezing water.